I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Play action from his own end zone. He winds up and deals down the middle. At the 50, it's hauled in Robert Woods. He's behind everybody. 10-5, touchdown, Robert Woods.
RJ Choppy's Rams. RJ's Choppy's Jacksonville Jaguars getting it done around the NFL with Jesse Holly, former Cowboys wideout, Mr. Fourth and Long. Before we get to his star up, star down at 9 o'clock, back into the Cowboys loss here on 105.3 The Fan. Your boy's getting it done.
Yeah, I've never done so much winning in my life than I have with power rankings lately. Certainly not with my degenerate picks this weekend. I'm not sure, but I may have had a goose egg. I don't know.
I'm sure you do know.
No, I stopped paying attention after a while. I looked really bad early on.
All right, we're taking suggestions for segment replacements. For
no, it's been fire. It's been so good of late until this week. It was bad this week, but the Rams, the Jags, the Saints, they were really. I mean, the Jaguars got that was a nail biter, and they got kind of fortunate to win that game against the Chargers, but they did come out and win. But the Rams looked really, really good. And the Saints are a team that, my gosh, all this team does is win by three touchdowns.
I know. Jesse, what stood out to you around the rest of the league?
I mean, this Saints thing, I think we're not paying enough attention to it. Maybe because they're not sexy as they used to be.
I got to be honest. I haven't watched them enough. I feel like I've never seen them in primetime this year. It's only freaking Miami. Yeah, so right. I haven't really watched them for straight quarters. You know, I'm just seeing highlights.
Right.
That's being honest.
Denver's bad. Yeah, Denver's very bad.
They're rough.
And you know what? To think of how they manhandled the Cowboys early in the year to where they are now, you kind of almost say, man, I wish we could have that game again, right? We can have that one one more time. Maybe the outcome will be different. But it also goes to my theory that teams always get up for the Cowboys. Teams always bring their best for the Cowboys. And it doesn't matter. And that's why people keep saying, like, oh, well, we got the Los Angeles Chargers coming up, and we got the Redskins coming up and the Giants coming up. And I'm like, those teams will get up for the Cowboys. They'll get up for the Cowboys, and a lot of those are at the Cowboys Stadium. So what better way for those other teams that aren't playing well right now than to come in and get a win versus the Cowboys and ruin their season even more at home? Like, so teams get up for the Cowboys, and it you see it. You look at Denver. They haven't been much of nothing since – they whooped up on the Cowboys 5-6 weeks ago.
Yeah, they were 3-1 to start the year. And they ain't won since. Yeah, there's frauds every year. You know this, in the NFL, you can start off 2-0.
Right.
And you're not 2-0. You're not a great team. You start off 3-1. And then there's teams that start off 3-1 every year that wind up being 6-10.
Do the Giants have to fire Ben McAdoo today?
No.
Why not?
I think 1 year... We live in this society now where everything, like, we throw the baby out with the bathwater. One thing happened, or a series of things happened, or one bad year, and we want to get rid of everybody. Like, just everybody has to go right now. Like, we had fan text last night calling us and say, fire the whole coaching staff. Like, wait a second. A week ago, you were praising them. They've been on a 3-game winning streak. They had a bad game. They lost four all-pro guys. Dan Bailey, Sean Lee, Zeke Elliott, and Tyron Smith. You just don't win that way. These things aren't just Jags. These aren't replacements. These aren't just average guys. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all pro players that they lost in the last, you know, that didn't play in the game last week. I think sometimes we need to sometimes just pump the brakes a little bit and just breathe.
But how can you tell if a team has quit?
The Giants are just bad. They're a bad football team. They have a terrible offensive line, pretty good defense. But we saw last night what happens when you don't have a proper offensive line. When you're missing, like, and so you can't function properly when you don't have the necessary pieces there. They don't have any of their weapons offensively. They got Sterling Shepard, but when you don't have Odell Beckham, you don't have Brandon Marshall. You got Ingram, but they don't have a running game. They don't have an offensive line, and yet still, say what you want about Eli, good, bad, average, below average, whatever. He'll always be below average when he doesn't have a running game, doesn't have receivers, and doesn't have an offensive line to block. And so to throw the entire baby out with the bathwater, sometimes we just need to kind of pause a balls a little bit.
You know, it's interesting. You're the only one I've heard say that. But I'm looking. Do you remember what the Giants' record was last year?
It was 11-5. They had the second best record in the NFC.
11-5. I totally forgot that.
Yeah. They that's what I'm saying. They're a good football team, and no one said anything about McAdoo last year.
Or did they overachieve last year? And this is, you know, like I don't know what they are.
Right.
But either way, you know, went 11-5 one year.
Yeah.
And they may have overachieved. And if they overachieved last year and went 11-5, I think it gives them a little bit more credit to stay. Because it got them overachieving.
You were on the team that where Wade got fired here.
Yes.
I've heard different people talk about this, like quitting. Like, did that team quit? And what are the signs of a team quitting? They're not going to go out on the field, right, probably a lot and run 50%. They're going to still try to play hard. Is it less attention in the meetings? Is it less attention to the details? Or have you not been on a team that's given up?
No, here's the thing. When people say quitting, right, when losing happens, everything gets magnified. When losing happens, every bit of the effort looks bad. Now, were there some guys who may not have given 100%? Yeah, there were some guys. You saw some guys who didn't want to stick their nose in there. Maybe some guys who didn't really lay out. You know, and that happens. But it that is with losing. It not necessarily quit on the coach. When you lose profusely and it's happening all the time, it's just something that it sucks your soul away from you, and you don't even want to be there. Even the most happiest guys. When you're surrounded by losing, you just don't want to be there, and you just don't have that same spirit that you have when you're winning. So I don't know if Ben McAdoo has lost the locker room. I seen a quote yesterday. Landon Collins said that he needs to come back next year. And this is your captain. This is your all-pro safety back there saying that he needs to come back next year. So I don't know the dynamics of that locker room, but I just think we live in a society today when things go wrong in life. And this is life. This is life. This is sports. We're just like, man, you know what? Throw everything away, and we'll start all over again.
All right, coming up next, back to the Cowboys. Star up, star down. How many star ups are there? What did Jesse 7 think of Chaz, the plan to help him, keeping Dak in, not having Sean, not having Tyron? How long is it going to be, and how insane was the post-game show last night with the Cowboy fans? Jesse Holly, Cowboy Hour, star up, star down with you. Next.
It was a team deal tonight. I mean, it was a team loss. We're all going to take credit in it, and it sucked. But we got our asses kicked, and we'll get better from it. And that's what happened in Denver. As you saw, we got better from it, and we'll get better from this one as well.
Dak Prescott under siege yesterday. The Cowboys get worked in the second half. They lose 27-7 to the Falcons, fall to 5-4 with the Eagles coming up in Arlington on Sunday Night Football. 8 sacks. Chaz Green gave up 5 of them. Adrian Claiborne secures NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He had 6 sacks. Let's talk about it with your star up, star down with Jesse Holly in studio. Mr. 4th and Long, former Cowboys wideout. Take it away. Did you ever play on a team where a quarterback got assaulted or stalked more than that?
No. Star up to Dak Prescott's body, okay? You don't make it out of a game. He had one hit. Claiborne had one hit where Dak didn't see him coming, and he hit him square in the back. Like, Dak's a strong, big kid, but you can't continue to take hits like that. That's just something that you just cannot do. Start to Dak's bones.
What do you say to those who – this will be a narrative. This helps show that Dak Prescott can't carry an offense without Zeke.
No, you know what? I was sitting on that throne last night. I was waiting in this game to see, can Dak Prescott carry this team? I put none of this on him. Like, he gets a pass from me. He gets a
And
complete,
you're a Dak hater.
I'm not a Dak
yeah,
hater.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not
you,
a Dak
you
hater.
You are like the president.
I just don't salivate over Dak like you do.
He didn't crown him like you right. did after the first preseason.
I give Dak a 100% pass on this one. When you don't have a running game and you're literally, it's a turnstile door at left tackle. Your weapons down the field don't have enough time to get open. There's nothing that Dak Prescott could have done to make this situation better.
He was already flushed out of the pocket before the receiver even got to their first break.
Listen, he was getting the ball in a shotgun, which means he was already 5 yards.
Yeah.
From the line of scrimmage, and he didn't have time to catch it, survey the field, and throw it before a guy was in his face. Like, that says a lot about your protection up front when you don't have enough time. And you're in shotgun. part of the reason why he was in shotgun was so that he didn't have to drop back and that the timing would meet up. So he'd have enough time to at least catch the ball and look down the field and throw it. And he didn't have time to do that.
How much help did they give Chaz Green? I know that you were in there with Kavanaugh as he's rewatching the game.
Yeah, they gave him help. They chipped backs with him. They gave him tight end help. They slipped protection with him.
Okay, so again, narrative that the coaching staff is incompetent, left him out on an island.
They didn't do it enough. They didn't do it enough. There were times that they did it, but it wasn't. At some point in time, you have to just all out commit to it and say, listen, from here on out, a tight end's over there. From here on out, and I was in there and I drew up like 6-7 plays already. Well, you can still keep. Here's what happens. Because some people say, well, just go jumbo package or go 13 personnel.
Then you got a high school. Then you got a high school setup.
Correct. And there's ways to keep the integrity of your offense. This Cowboys team like to run a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. It works well for the running game. It works well for the passing game. You now have more options on the field. There's ways where you can still keep the integrity of your offense in a 3 wide receiver set and still have a primary guy over there blocking, whether it be a fullback, a running back, a tight end, and you can still have Cole, Butler, Williams, and Dez still in their in your primary route tree. So there's ways that you can do it. I don't think the Cowboys prepared for that for this game. No coach goes into a football game and thinks it's going to be 6 sacks from one guy bad. None. No coach says, all right, Monday, guys, here's our game plan. We got to prevent this guy from getting 6 sacks. No one does that. No one could have anticipated that happening to Chaz Green in that game. And so they gave him some help, but every single time they didn't, he got whooped.
I think that Garrett sounded optimistic about Tyron returning this week. I'm just reading between the lines. You can never tell with Jay Jeezy. If Tyron can't go, what do you do at left tackle?
I don't think he can get any worse. I mean, listen, Byron Bell in his short time gave up 2 sacks. He gave it 1 to Claiborne and gave it 1 to the long-haired Clay Matthews lookalike kid. Right?
That was on that fourth down play where he tripped him up.
I mean, I don't know. And for those who think the musical chairs of offensive linemen will work, we'll take Lyle and we'll move him to left. And we'll take so-and-so and we'll move him to right.
Zach.
Listen, guys, unless there will be a void somewhere in that line. There will be a deficiency somewhere in that line. And the
isn't it better to have it any other place but left tackle?
No, honestly.
Why? No.
Because you can game planning this thing, you can commit a tight end or running back to that side and say everywhere else will be solid. But now you start taking guy, Lyle, go to left tackle. Now what? Are you going to give him help or not?
I'm going to put Chaz at right tackle.
Okay, you put who at left tackle?
Oh, Lael.
Are you going to give him help?
At times, yes.
At times.
Against Philly.
So what's the difference? If you're going to give him help at times, do the same thing with... Because now, all right, you put him at right... You put Chaz at right tackle. Are you going to give him help there? Are you going to give him help? What's the difference? He's still
going to give up sacks either
way.
He's
on the field. Is he on the field? Yes. All right, now you're taking so-and-so and you're moving him there. Yeah. Well, who are you putting in his spot? You take Martin and you move him. Who are you putting in his spot? You're going to give him help? What I'm saying is that you can formulate this thing where if you're going to give that left tackle help, then formulate your game plan where he's getting continual help throughout the game. And then we'll say, we'll be solid everywhere else. We'll commit another guy to that one. And then we'll just call plays according to not having to deal with that guy coming off the edge every single time.
Do you think, real quick, RJ, Jesse, Holly, and Stu, do you think they did a bad job of game planning with Chaz there or adjusting too late yesterday? Or the thought was there, they just didn't do it enough?
I think the adjustment was too late. Because, listen, he practiced all week. They saw something in him to say he practiced all week. He got the bulk of the snaps. They didn't even give Byron Bell a lot of snaps. So they felt somewhat comfortable. Now, maybe the guy coming off the edge was Taco Charlton in practice all week, so it didn't look that bad.
Not a great barometer.
But he practiced there all week, and they felt confident about it. Again, you cannot game plan for a guy playing this bad. You just don't see that happening. And a lot of times what happens is it's a snowball effect. You give up one, you give up two. Now all of a sudden his head was dropping, his shoulders were sunk in, and now it's just that's when your coach has to come in and play and say, we've lost him. Let's look in his eyes, and we've lost him today.
Have they made a phone call to Doug Free?
If I'm Doug Free, I'm...
Or has he made a phone call to them?
Nah, Doug Free's not coming back. Doug Free's not walking through that door. He's chilling. He's chilling. Doug Free's not coming back.
If you could be without... If you could only have one for the Eagle game, would you pick Sean Lee or Tyron?
Sean Lee. And I know people say, what did we get? Sean Lee. Again, because I can take a tight end and I can put him over there. Because if I don't have Shumlin on the field, I put Grandpa Durant out there or I put one-legged Jalen out there. And either one of those guys aren't good enough to stop what they want to do. I mean, defensively, the Eagles defensively are going to be a dominant force. So I'm going to have to commit a guy there. We've seen what this team has been without Sean Lee being on the field. And we don't have a guy to replace him. We don't. I don't care how you want to move it around. We don't. You can say, oh, Justin Durant, he's smart. Yeah, he's smart all he wants. He's old.
Yeah.
Can't move like he used to.
Yeah.
And Jalen Smith.
The numbers basically get doubled by the other team's offense when Sean leaves.
Yeah.
They get doubled.
Give me Sean Lee.
Do you think that the hamstring's going to linger? Do you think
yes. he can? Hamstrings are lingering injuries.
Will he be out this weekend?
Here's my thinking. If you're telling me that we still have a chance at making the playoffs, and we still have one more game with Philly, do I rush Sean Lee back? Do I rush Tyron back just for one game and have them further injure these injuries, these soft tissue injuries? Or do I say, hey, you know what? Give him one full week to recover and rest again, and then we'll get this thing on the back end. Like, that's a question that I would have for them. And for me, you know, even with Tyron, that groin is a touchy situation because of the position that he's always in. He's always in that kick slide, kick slide, kick slide. And so he's always opening up that gap of the groin and taking on that impact. So if he's not ready to go, that will be adjusted. One of the reasons why Tyron was getting beat this year was people have been setting him up, going hard to the outside, and then coming underneath. So if he can't adjust with that, if it's still a lingering thing for him, then don't put him out there. Same thing for Sean Lee. Sean Lee's going to tell you he's fine. Tyron's going to tell you he's fine. That's what players do. If he's not ready to go, I think you just sit him another week and say, listen, we'll take our lumps. We'll try to game plan as best as possible. But we have to prepare ourselves to win out and then January 31st have that game against Philadelphia and see where it lays.
Did you have an issue with Dak still in the game throughout at the end?
No.
Why not?
Because you want to give yourself the best chance to win.
They weren't going to win with 4 minutes left. What if he got hurt? What would be happening today?
What if he got hurt in the second quarter?
Well, then you were it was a 3-point game or you were up.
You leave him. He's fine. He's
fine. he just gave a starve to his bones.
I get when it's 8 minutes left and they start the drive. And I get when it's 4 minutes left because they're still on that final drive.
And then here's what happened. You take him out and then Monday morning, here's what we're saying. If he comes out, Cooper Rush comes in, does some razzle dazzle.
No,
right?
Stop it, Jesse.
No.
And then you think we're going to make a Cooper Rush case?
Yep.
Jesse Holly.
I'm not saying you per se. I'm saying the media goes, whoa, if Cooper Rush comes in, right, and they score a touchdown.
Did you say Pooper Rush?
Cooper.
You did say Pooper Rush.
Pooper Rush.
That was a subconscious mistake.
Cooper Rush comes in.
Pooper Rush.
Pooper Rush starts coming in and slinging it around.
And he scores a touchdown, and they get an onside kick, and they get
drops
a field.
Drops two on you.
And they get a field goal. Yeah. Right, and they get a field goal, and now it's 17-28. You're like, wait a second. Stop. Do we go to Cooper Rush next week? Is he more
What was the craziest thing you heard that you got in the postgame show last night? Because I heard Dawson went on like a 7-minute rant.
Yeah, everybody was blaming the coaches, and they have some blame in this. They should be culpable in some of the stuff that happened in the game yesterday. But I just think a lot of times the fans – they're so fickle, especially these Cowboy fans. And my Twitter's about to blow up, and the fan text will blow up, and that's fine. But these are the most fickle fans ever.
It's brutal.
Ever.
Sometimes with these Romo fans.
Listen, they'll go from 1 week, the sky was as blue as it was last week, and now they want to fire everybody. Everybody's saying, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy, cut this guy, cut that guy. That's just not how it works, man. You guys gotta, you know, I'm supposed to be the irrational one. That's my job. My job is to be irrational. My job is to hang on the edge every single week. You guys are lifelong Cowboy fans. You're supposed to be the calm, cool, and collected one to say, hey, let's be optimistic. It's one bad game. We'll put it behind us and move forward.
I really don't know how you can assess that much, but you talk about a pass. I kind of give them a pass because of the injuries. Now,
thank you.
I think the front office deserves blame, though, too. And not that every team has tremendous depth throughout the entire league, but you can't have this type of drop-off to Sean Lee's backup to where your whole defense is incapable of anything. Like, one guy...
Yeah, I don't think they even... Again, how do you quantify that, right? How do you quantify this much of a drop off when Sean Lee goes out?
Because they can't, because the other team scores at will and nonstop, and they don't when he's in.
What I'm saying, like,
when the numbers get double.
What I'm saying, when you're in the offseason process and you're trying to bring guys in, how do you quantify in your mind if we lose Sean Lee? Because you're thinking to yourself, man, Anthony Hitchens is playing pretty well. Jalen Smith looks good. So there's certain things that you just can't quantify until it happens. Now,
okay.
If they go into this offseason.
How could you predict it?
Right.
Predict it. So now, if they go into this offseason.
Right. And don't address it.
And don't address it. Now we kill them next year and go, wait a second. We saw what happened last year.
Okay.
We saw that when Sean Lee went off the field. Yeah. If you don't go get a guy, I'm not talking about some other guys and just some name. If you don't go get a guy that has the potential to be that guy, to replace Sean Lee, not replace him, but at least to be
adequate,
then that's when we kill him.
You feel the same about left tackle behind Tyron?
See, how do you find a replacement left tackle?
Here's the thing. We're talking about almost possibly maybe a future Hall of Famer. How do you plan a replacement for that?
Yeah.
Like, left tackles are a premium. If there's a left tackle out there somewhere, trust me.
He's starting.
A team wants him.
Yeah, if there's a left tackle who can come in and play, he's starting.
Somebody wants him. He's on someone's team collecting a check.
Chaz was a third-round pick, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.